continuing the hearing, public hearing, and we'll also go into work session on the budget for the Office of Energy. We first scheduled and we'll finish up the public hearing part of the deliberations. And I have the Oregon Museum of Science and Industry here to talk to us about their budget.
Somewhere.
Please come forward. We are very interested in talking to OMSI and having you report to the committee. So please begin as soon as you're ready.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I'm Nancy Stuber. I'm the president of the Oregon Museum of Science and Industry. And I'm very pleased that we have the opportunity to come and speak with you today about OMSI. I have been in the position of president since May, but before that with the organization for many years through all of the financial history that you have in front of you. And I'm happy to report that we are in exciting times because OMSI has stabilized, at least on a cash basis, has stabilized our financial operation. And we've made a great deal of progress in the last several years with the support of the legislature. There are several areas that I want to go over with you just to make sure that you're aware. I believe you have in front of you some of our most recent financial status information and a memo from Dave Barrows that gives some description. And I know that you've heard from the Department of Energy prior to this about the loan that OMSI currently
What are we supposed to be looking at? We're kind of unsure about what you were.
It was actually on our desks yesterday.
It was on your desk last week.
I read that, but I didn't bring it with me today.
I didn't bring mine with me either.
Do you have extra copies?
We do have a summary of some of that information that we can pass out today as well.
Here we go. Please.
We'll give it back.
Trust those friends.
I don't recall ever seeing one, dear.
I know I got it, and I read it. I just didn't explain it.
Yes. Well, I recognize it.
That's why I leave my stuff here.
I read everything that comes to class. It just doesn't get followed fast enough for me to be able to get it back. Following all day.
I think we're papered. We're ready to go.
Yeah, we're ready now.
I'd like to give you just a few of the highlights of what OMSI has been able to achieve and where we are. And then Paul Carlson is with me. He's our chief financial officer, and he will also be able to address some of the specific questions you might have about the numbers. OMSI, as you know, has programs that operate throughout the state. We have the only statewide outreach program. We go to every county in Oregon, every corner of Oregon, several times a year with a team of teachers who deliver programs in the schools, both assembly programs and teacher training programs. All of the things that we do, both in the museum and in our outreach programs, are aligned to the state education standards. And we have a teacher training program that trained about 700 teachers last year in the use of technology in the classroom and in teaching by inquiry-based methods. We have just launched this fall a program that's a distance learning program, uses the state system for reaching out to schools around the state, but it's a program called the JASON Project, started by Dr. Robert Ballard, the scientist who discovered the Titanic. Next week, we'll have the first of a series of broadcasts by Dr. Ballard as he takes a team of scientists on expedition into active volcanoes, and he's taking with him virtually, via internet and satellite broadcast, 80 Oregon classrooms. So these are students, teachers we have trained who have been using the curriculum throughout the year, and the children get to go along on a field expedition virtually. It's that kind of innovative science education that OMSI is able to bring throughout the state and that we're very proud of. OMSI's been accredited as one of the leading science museums in the country. We serve more than 1.5 million visitors each year. Many of those are school children. We are looking forward in the next several years to even expand those services. We feel very strongly about being part of closing the achievement gap. And the achievement gap is due first and foremost to accessibility, to lack of accessibility to services. And so many of the things that we're providing are geared toward bringing OMSI services and science education around the state to rural communities, as well as to low-income populations and people who are typically not involved in science and math. We are doing that because it's our mission to do it. We believe that it's also very, very important to the state and to the economy of the state. Not only the high-tech economy, which we all know is crying for more people that are literate in science and math and prepared to go into those industries, but in the traditional resources that the state has counted on, natural resources, agriculture, all of those areas that are becoming more and more technologically oriented with biotechnology and genetic engineering. So our goal is to make current science accessible as widely as possible, and to prepare the students who will eventually go into the higher education system in our state and then be part of the new economy for the state of Oregon. I think with that, if there are questions specifically that you would have, I suppose that one of the ways we could approach this is to have Paul Carlson give you a summary of the sheet that was just handed out and the information that's in front of you, and then we would be happy to take any questions you might have.
Are there any questions from the committee at this point? Please proceed with stepping us through this financial
summary. Madam Chairperson, for the record, my name is Paul Carlson. I'm the Chief Financial Officer for OMSI. You have a handout in front of you, and I'd like to review briefly the financial situation of OMSI at this time and over the recent past. You are all familiar, of course, with the financial problems that OMSI suffered through after the flood in 1996. Our efforts since have been aimed at reducing debt and stabilizing the financial structure of the organization. The handout shows an abbreviated income statement at the top, and it covers the last three fiscal years. In terms of the stabilization effort, let me note in the expense section the numbers relating to operating expenses, and you'll note that those have held fairly constant at $14 million over the last 3 years. The next line shows the magnitude of the interest on the ODOE debt. This is declining somewhat over time based on a refinancing that took place about a year ago, which reduced the interest rate on that debt. And lastly, I have highlighted or separated out the depreciation charges, which run about $2 million per year, and I'd like to come back to that in just a moment. The next line down shows a net loss for the last 2 years, and it's an increasing loss to the tune of $1.8 million in our last fiscal year. If we then take out extraordinary items, especially in fiscal 98, where we had some special fundraising related to paying off some of the bank debt, we show that the adjusted net income is really between a loss of $1 to $2 million a year over this period. In the next section, you'll note that our cash generation after debt service has been $400,000 to $500,000 a year. Most of this is due to asset liquidations, such as the sale of properties or surplus returned to the museum when we terminated an employee pension plan. However, this has not been sufficient to keep up with the reinvestment needed by the organization as measured by the depreciation charge, and that is shown as reinvestment required on this page. which is, as I said, about $2 million. The actual amount of capital expenditures made by the museum is shown next, and they have ranged from $400,000 per year to $1 million per year. The need is much higher than that. During a period when the museum is trying to stabilize its financial operations and when the required level of reinvestment is really not being made, the level of debt service burden on the museum has been increasing. This is shown in the last section of the page you're looking at. Note that in 1998, OMSI paid about $150,000 of the debt service. The other portions were made up by the state funding and by other local government funding. This year, we're estimating that OMSI will pay $450,000, or triple the original amount, as local governments, the funding from local governments has fallen away. In conclusion, I think we can state that OMSI has stabilized on a cash basis. However, this does not provide sufficient funds for reinvestment in the organization. We recognize, from a management point of view, that finding the additional funds for reinvestment is a major challenge going forward. The alternative is a slow death for the organization, as assets must be liquidated and programs cut in order to pay the bills. We will offer fewer and poorer programs, and our facility will experience significant and costly repairs as we defer maintenance. The result will be an impoverishment of the organization, which will impair our ability to grow revenues any further. This is not where the Board of Trustees or the management of OMSI wants to go. We believe that Oregon deserves a world-class science museum such as OMSI. A strong leader in science education is a significant adjunct in the state's efforts in educational excellence and supports the need for providing a highly educated employee base for the high-tech sector. Finally, OMSI's position when the bond financing was implemented was that the government assistance at a significant level would be required for the long term. For the reasons I have enumerated and giving consideration to the contribution that OMSI makes to the cultural and educational fabric of our state, we would like to request that the committee endorse continuation of the current level of state funding for debt service. That concludes my presentation.
Questions, comments? Representative Bowman.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Let
me back up a little bit. You mentioned that initially, because of the construction and rebuilding of OMSI, the loan was taken out and OMSI got into trouble and the state stepped in and assisted. But then in your presentation, you said that there's not enough money to cover the general maintenance that needs to take place. So I thought OMSI was a new building. And so what is the enormous maintenance costs that are causing problems?
Madam Chair, Representative Bowman, the building now is approaching 10 years of age. Every building will have increasing maintenance issues. A lot of these were deferred during the financial difficulties starting in 96. We are, I think, as I said, even on a cash basis, that is, we can pay our bills, but it does not take care of replacement of equipment that fails all the time. It does not take care of new investment in exhibits. We have been adding exhibits, and we try to do that through government grants, through the National Science Foundation, et cetera. That is one of the reasons why the capital expenditures last year increased to a $1 million level. That was a new traveling exhibit funded by the National Science Foundation in large part, which we will put out on the road and earn revenue from. And those funds will go back into the museum to support programs. So I think we are, even on a cash basis, we will continue to pay our bills, but the building will get older. We will not be able to replace exhibits as they either come off the road or get worn out in the museum.
Thank you. Thank you, Madam Chair.
I have a question. I would imagine that it's a given that OMSI's goal is to be self-sustaining financially. And it would appear from what I've learned in studying the organization that fundraising is going to always be a big component of that sustainability picture. What can you give the committee an idea of where the fundraising is going and what you have in the works and why we're in a situation where the finances appear to be weakening over time rather than strengthening?
Madam Chair, I'd be glad to respond to that. We, as an institution, have been very responsible on looking at all of our expenses. OMSI currently is about 90% earned income. So that means that we, through the fees and our admissions, were able to cover about 90% of our expenses. That is extraordinarily high for a museum. In fact, OMSI is the only one of the top science museums in the country that does not receive substantial public support for operations. Our colleagues at the Liberty Science Center in New Jersey, for instance, receive $12 million in a biennium for a $40 million operating budget. That's not untypical. Science Museum of Minnesota, the Columbus Science Museum, many of our colleagues at the same level as OMSI receive substantial support. More typically, a museum would operate at 25% contributed funds and through public support and through charitable contributions. We are not, we're at about 10%. We recognize that we want to certainly increase the amount of charitable contributions and private support, and we have several ways that we're doing that. We have a very strong board right now. Our board of trustees, we have about 30 people on our board. Many of them are from the high-tech industry. Many of them are from education and are very committed to helping us with fundraising. It's their primary responsibility. We have invested and received some private money to invest in our development department staff so that we can increase our effectiveness and have more people who are effectively fundraising. And this year we have received double the amount of restricted gifts, and that's the things that, like Paul was referring to, National Science Foundation money specifically to build an exhibit. We have doubled that over last year. So we are making progress on the development side, but the institution, by its nature, will always rely on some charitable contributions in order to keep our services accessible. Back to what I was speaking of earlier, part of our mission is really to provide access to education for everyone. And in order to do that, we need to have that kind of support.
Representative Krieger.
What is the interest that you pay on the debt? What's the percentage rate?
Madam Chair, Representative Krieger, the interest rate is 6.09%. That's down a percentage point from about a year ago when I refinanced.
We don't have your whole budget. So I was wondering, what are the costs of your outreach, your statewide work that you do in the education outside of Portland? Is there a breakdown how much you spend of that going around the state out of your budget?
I don't have those numbers with me, but I believe the number is in the $400,000 range. I think to continue that answer and respond to another question as well, we have just recently acquired private foundation monies to help with replacing the vans that are used for the outreach program. So we're being very aggressive about getting out into the community and fundraising for these programs. Another example is the growth of our development department. Last year, we went out and got a grant from the Gates Foundation. It's $450,000 over 3 years. $150,000 of that is dedicated to building the development funding effort within the museum. This gets us into some new areas, such as planned giving, more emphasis on corporate giving than we were able to muster in the past.
Representative Nolan.
Madam Chair, thank you. And I don't know if this is the right time, but I will declare a conflict of interest since I am a member of OMSI, and my daughter loves going to the museum. She benefits quite a bit from it. But my question is from my role in one of the high-tech companies in Oregon. And Ms. Stewart, you referred to briefly the affiliation and the value of what OMSI provides in generating an interest and enthusiasm and a real excitement among kids for sciences. And I'd like you to talk a little bit more about that, because as an owner of a business who depends on people to want to go into science careers, I want to hear a little bit more about how you coordinate with the high-tech community, with other scientific businesses, and what value that has for my colleagues.
Madam Chair, Representative Nolan, I'd be pleased to do that. It's the part that I can speak about with the most passion, because you're right, it's where we see the light come on in children's eyes. We have right now an initiative to expand our technology offerings, and that's really funded by Intel and the high-tech community. Intel has been the lead gift. We have a community advisory committee that includes Intel and Hewlett-Packard and InFocus and Mentor Graphics and a number of the other companies that have come forth to recognize that education is really going to be the key, and that while they speak a lot about higher education, they understand that in order to get students prepared for higher education in Oregon, they have to start early in the pipeline, and that's where OMSI comes in. So what we are doing in the technology area in particular is we have a computer lab that has always been one of the most popular places in the institution. It now has some new programs that we're introducing. One is in robotics. So again, applied technology and how that will kind of help to fuel the economy in the future. Another that we're experimenting with is in biotechnology. Another that we are beginning to develop exhibits on is in the use of these micro machines that are quite extraordinary, and we will have a pump that is so small that you have to see it under a microscope that could be implanted in the human body. And these are the kind of things that we are using children's involvement in the development of those exhibits, because then they become invested, and we also use them as a focus group because we know how they can be engaged and what gets them very excited. Another area that we have a lot of emphasis in right now is in engineering, and we work closely with Oregon State University and with Portland State University in their engineering programs. We actually have a memorandum of understanding with all of those institutions, and we are developing, we have an exhibit called Engineering. We are doing things with Engineering Month that is coming up, and we have programs where teachers can do engineering in the classroom with their students. We provide design challenges to the students, and then they can build a building that could withstand an earthquake and bring it into the museum and test it on our giant shake table, because those are things that teachers don't have in the classroom: water tanks, wind tunnels, shake tables, that we can provide at OMSI, so we can coordinate with what the schools are doing. So those are a couple of examples of where we've seen students be very excited, and we know from all of the research that it's about the fourth or fifth grade, where students are making a decision about whether the science is cool or whether science is a nerdy thing to do. And our goal is to reach them in time to make them understand that science is cool and that there are role models that they can really look up to and respect that do science in their lives, and that there are amazing contributions that they will be able to make as they follow in those careers.
A brief follow-up. You referenced briefly your labs and things like that, and I could go on and on and on about the scientific exhibits and how they bring the science into real lives. But I'd like you to talk a little bit more also about what you do for teachers to help them take that enthusiasm outside the building and into the classrooms around the state.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Representative Millen, I'd be glad to do that. The labs that she is referring to, if you're not familiar, is each of our exhibit halls has an associated lab. Those are activity areas that are open to the public, open to anyone. They are staffed, so we're able to provide a little more in-depth experience. We can put activities and experiments out that are messier than we could if they were just on the exhibit floor and unattended. And in those labs, we are able to get students more and more engaged. Again, we do connect those to what the school curriculum has mandated, and in fact, teachers are always free to come to the museum. A teacher can come in, plan ahead with our staff, and then reserve a lab and have that dedicated to that classroom's curriculum for the day of their field trip. We work very closely with teachers in order to help them know how to best use the experience. And our training, as I mentioned, we trained 700 teachers last year. Our training is to get them into the museum and have them do the experiments. Much of what we teach them in is called inquiry-based science. It's really teaching the problem-solving skills that are necessary to, well, for all of us, but particularly for students who are where we want to encourage them in science learning, because it's really the process of science. It's the scientific method. The JASON project that I mentioned, where students are able to go on a virtual field expedition into active volcanoes, we brought teachers in and trained them in this curriculum, and during this time, they were building volcanoes, and they were moving seafloor plates to see why collisions occur and why volcanoes are formed. Very practical things that they could take back and use in their classroom. They got to do them with each other and have a lot of fun. That program was extraordinary because in its first year, all the funds raised for this program were privately raised, and in its first year, we thought we would start small and we would pilot it locally with schools that we had worked with. The word got out, and we now have had 80 teachers from all over the state, from Roseburg and Coos Bay and Eastern Oregon, calling us and wanting to be part of this program. They are the ones that came in, made the volcanoes, and are now back in the classroom doing that with their students. And in addition, they are able to use the internet because students all over the world are using the same curriculum. And their students are collecting information about Oregon volcanoes, putting that data on the internet, comparing it and sharing it with students all over the world. OMSI, I believe, is in a unique position to provide those kinds of services, again, statewide, that really make science exciting and relevant and come alive.
Thank you.
Representative Bowman.
Thank you, Madam Chair. As someone who used to raise money for a living, actually I still do, don't I? But that's another story.
You call this a living?
I understand how difficult it is to get money for old debt. And so clearly, if you are expanding your fundraising capabilities, there aren't a lot of people out there that are willing to give money to pay off past debt. So clearly, the money is for what you're doing now and what you're planning to do into the future. And so I do understand that challenge. But having said that, we also are facing very similar challenges to what you're facing at OMSI, which is we have some really hard choices in front of us in an extremely tight budget year. And all things being equal, I mean, I'd like to give you twice what you asked for. But the reality is that in this budget environment, we just don't know now how much general fund will be available for these kind of really necessary programs. I'd like you to spend a little time talking about what happens if what you've asked for does not come through and we come up with an alternate proposal. How will OMSI be able to still do what they do? What changes do you see? So that's part one. Part two, as you were talking, it occurred to me, why are you not part of the budget of the Department of Education? I mean, clearly, if you're training teachers and students across the state, there seems to be a disconnect between what you do and the Department of Education's overall strategy about bringing people together statewide for these kind of incredible programs. And so that's, that's just a question. Why is that not happening? So if you could answer both of those, I'd be greatly appreciative.
Chair, Representative Bowman. In answer to the first question, what would happen if we don't receive the funds that we have requested from the legislature? It's an important question. It's one that we have been asking. As you can see in the information that Paul Carlson went over, we are really operating on a very, very slim margin. In fact, we are showing a loss when you count depreciation. I believe that we've done a very good job of cutting expenses. It's been of necessity in the last few years. We have had to look very, very hard at every single program. So I believe that we've done as much of that as we will be able to do just across the board. The next thing that would happen is that we would begin to cut services. We would have no choice but to do that, and we would I'm not able today to say which services would come first, but we know that we would not be able to continue to provide all of the services that we have. Our commitment would remain to accessibility. We would continue to try to find ways to make our programs accessible, but you know, the reality will be that it will be much, much more difficult to do that. I believe we would see staff cuts, and because we're right at that point, and we would see cuts in services. And perhaps Paul will have something that he'd want to add to that. But in answer to the second part of your question, that's a very good question. I don't have the answer to it. I can tell you that we have worked closely with the Department of Education, particularly on the teacher training, because that is a major emphasis for them now. We certainly would be happy to be part of the Department of Education budget.
Thank you.
If I may just take a minute here, it was interesting to me that you didn't raise the option of exploring other fundraising avenues to make up for the state stepping back on its level of support. Is there a reason that you didn't have that option on there?
Madam Chair, I just assumed it. We are actively, when I said that we have looked at expense cuts, what we have realized is that we've cut on the expense side, I believe, about as far as we can with our current services, and what we have been concentrating on is increasing revenue. So we have been looking at the revenue generation of all of the programs, as well as increasing the contributions to the museum and increasing our sources of restricted funds. So we've doubled the number of grants that we received from last year, where we have a person dedicated to seeking out grant sources. We've been working with the federal delegation, and we're buying in every avenue that we can think of to increase those kinds of sources of funds, as well as the charitable contribution side. So yes, that would be certainly our first avenue, and we would continue doing that. That would, cutting the services would be our last choice. However, what we are seeing right now, and particularly as the economy slows, is that there are more and more challenges on the fundraising side as well. And
we have the same issues here,
yes,
in the state government.
Horrible.
Representative Hayes.
Well, not to be totally redundant with what Representative Bowman has said, I'll say I'd rather give you three times that amount.
Show up.
Clearly, there's watching the rebirth of OMSI, the last two biennials has been incredibly exciting. You've made a lot of just really good choices. The fundraising program has went well. A lot of the little things, for example, I was at a Association of County Fairs meeting in North Portland, their annual convention. Watching OMSI's outreach there with the county fair people was exciting. I don't think that's something that would have been happening 6 years ago. You're constantly creating new opportunities for developing of science education, and your focus on moving it statewide has been, you know, very excellently done. With that caveat, again, I don't think that additional cuts are wise, but in the next couple months, this legislature is going to be forced to making a great many unwise cuts. We're looking at a reduction in support of drug courts that I think will drive corrections caseloads considerably more than the savings in the courts. Just bad decisions after bad decisions we're going to be forced into making totally because of the revenue situation. Hopefully, out of this, you know, we became your partner, and now one of your partners is a little shaky. So it may take this biennium, maybe another biennium. And at that, but at some point in the future, then we really need to, the state of Oregon needs to sit down with OMSI and come up with maybe a more rational way for us to be accepting your statewide mission, your education mission, not in terms of subsidizing debt, but in terms of paying for the real value that you contribute to the state. And I'm anxious to get started on that process, but timing is everything, and this unfortunately isn't a good time to do it. But there will be a time in the future that I think we need, not only looking at OMSI, but some of the other cultural institutions, the relationship between OMSI and tourism development. I can see that. Stargazing parties. This could be an incredible tourism magnet in the places in the state that are still dark and have the beautiful night skies. So there's a lot of things that we can look at in the future to be supportive. But I'm afraid you're going to have to bear with us for a biennium or two.
Further comments, questions? Does that conclude your? Oh, I'm sorry.
Just a question for the administrator.
Representative Hazen.
Is the loan a cash loan or was it bonded? A bond floating.
Excuse me, Madam Chair and Representative Hayden. I believe it was a small scale energy loan. Correct. So it was funded through an issuance of general obligation bonds. That's how that program works.
So would it be fair to assume also that would be the reason that this budget was in the Office of Energy's budget was because that was the source of the loan?
Correct. That's correct.
I see.
Further questions or comments? Thank you very much. Is there any other members of the public here that wish to give testimony during the public hearing portion of the debate or the presentation? There being none, I will close the public hearing portion, and we will take a 10-minute recess while we are looking for
getting a quorum.
Senator Farioli.
A substitute senator.
Oh, a substitute senator. Oh.